Thank you for listening. Love Worth Finding is solely a listener and viewer-supported ministry, and this message is available because of the prayers and donations of people just like you. To make a donation, go to lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. And thank you for joining us in making an eternal difference.
Let me tell you a good way to spell Christmas. G-R-A-C-E. That's how you spell Christmas. Look at this verse. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, friend, that is news, and I have news for you. Thank God for the birthday of the Lord Jesus that we celebrate at this time of year. Have you ever thought about it? If it were not for his birthday, what would your birthday mean? What would the cards, the cakes, and the candles mean? I'll tell you what it would mean. Apart from his birthday, your birthday would mean you're 1 year closer to death and judgment. Wouldn't be much to celebrate, would it? But because of his birthday, every birthday that we have means that we are 1 year closer to glory, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, our home, our fellowship, our Lord. We are going to be with him. Now, I want you to think, first of all, about his glorious possessions. The Bible says here in this verse that Jesus Christ was rich. Now, the Savior could never have become poor unless, first of all, he was rich. Now, I want you to put your bookmark there, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. And we're going to see just how rich this baby was. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, the child that was born, that's Jesus in his humanity. The son that is given, that is Jesus in his deity. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in this passage, I want you to see just how rich our Lord Jesus Christ was, because this speaks of Jesus. For example, he was rich in his person, because in this verse, Jesus is called, listen to me now, Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Jesus is rich in his person. Jesus is the eternal God. Jesus did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. Jesus, there never was a time when he was not. And when Jesus was born, that little baby that Christmas morning, he was as old as his father and older than his mother. He is God. He is rich in his person. By the way, there are people who say, well, I don't believe Jesus is God, but I believe Jesus was a good man. You can't have it that way. If Jesus Christ is not God, Jesus is a liar. If Jesus Christ is not God, Jesus is a fraud. If Jesus Christ is not God, by his own words, he is not good. For Jesus Christ said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. If Jesus is not God, Jesus is not good. And what Jesus was saying is, because I am God, I am good. He is rich in his person. Number two, according to Isaiah, he's rich in his position. The Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's rich not only in who he is, but what he is. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He can go no higher. He has the highest position that can possibly exist in all of the created spheres, because the Bible says that God has given him a name that is above every name. Every name, the name of Jesus, is above. I love that. Friend, when you worship the name of Jesus, you're worshiping the highest name. He was rich in his person. He is the everlasting Father. He is rich in his position. The government is upon his shoulders. He is rich in his power. Now, next, he's called the Mighty God. The Mighty God. By the way, you will have Jehovah's Witnesses who will come and knock at your door from time to time. The very first thing to ask them is, what do they believe about Jesus Christ? Because if they're wrong about Jesus, it doesn't matter what they're right about. Isn't that right? The Bible says, if any come to your door and bring not the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Find out what they believe about Jesus. The question I always ask them is, do you worship Jesus? Now, that puts them in a real bind, because very frankly, they do not believe that Jesus is God. They do not believe he's co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father. So just ask them this question, do you worship Jesus? Well, if they say, no, we don't worship Jesus, you say, well, in the Bible they worship Jesus, and show them passage after passage after passage where Jesus was worshiped, beginning with the wise men who came and knelt and worshiped the baby Jesus. But if they say, we do worship Jesus, you can say to them, do you mean that you worship someone who is not God? For the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, and you shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. So, on the one hand, if they don't worship Jesus, they're not doing what the Bible teaches. And on the other hand, if they do worship Jesus and don't believe he's God, they're worshiping a false god. They're having some other god. They're committing the worst sin of the Bible, which is idolatry. Do you see the problem that they have if they do not accept that he is the mighty God? They say, well, give me a verse of scripture that shows that Jesus is God. And I always tell them, well, I have problems doing that. They kind of smile, and then I say, you know, there's so many scriptures, I don't know which one to begin with. But let's just take this, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This son is called the everlasting Father, and the government should be upon his shoulder, and he is called the Mighty God. Now, you know what they will say? They will say, oh, well, yes, he is a God, but not the God. He is Mighty God, but he is not Almighty God. Now, here I want to give you a verse of scripture, and I want you to write it down very clearly because you use this. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 18. Speaking to Jehovah, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. And when it says the Lord of hosts, it actually says the Jehovah of hosts. Jehovah is the mighty God, and Jesus is Jehovah. That's what Isaiah 9:6 says. Listen, he is rich in his person. He is the everlasting Father. He is rich in his position. The government is upon his shoulders. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He is rich in his power. He is the mighty God, and he is rich in his possessions. You see, everything was made by him and for him. It is all coming to him. And so Isaiah goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever. Satan tried to give Jesus the kingdoms of this world. He tried to give Jesus that which was already his. Our Lord is rich in his possessions. Everything belongs to him. You don't own a thing in this world. Not one thing. All you are is a steward. Everything belongs to him. Put down in your margin. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So, our verse tells us, first of all, that Jesus was rich. Rich in his person, rich in his position, rich in his power, rich in his possessions. Everything in the created universes was for him, by him, and is coming to him. Now, the second thing I want you to notice, not only his glorious possessions, but I want you to notice his great poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, go back to it where we started. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. When did he do that? That Christmas night, when he stepped out of heaven, when he came down to this earth, Jesus Christ took poverty upon himself. Now, this time, I want you to leave our text, and I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment, And I want you to see the poverty that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself that Christmas. Philippians chapter 2, and I begin reading in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that is, he was rich, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't have to grasp at equality with the Father because he is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. But now notice verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that speaks of Jesus becoming poor. He became poor in his person. He who was Almighty God took human flesh upon him. Now I can understand dust wanting to be deity, but I can't understand deity willing to be dust. But Jesus laid aside the splendors of heaven and became poor in person. He became a man, and the infinite became an infant and was born in a smelly stable, laid in a feeding trough. He did that to redeem us. But not only did he become poor in person, he became poor in position. Remember the position that he had? The government is upon his shoulders. But now here's what it says. He took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus had no reputation of his own. He laid that reputation aside. Notice in verse 7, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Now you have a monarch in a manger. You have a sovereign who becomes a servant. Can you imagine the Lord of glory washing the smelly feet of fishermen? Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. I'm talking now about his poverty, what Christmas meant for him. He became poor in his person. He became poor in his position. He became poor in his power. Did you know that Jesus laid aside all of the prerogatives of power that he had? He left that in heaven and he came to this earth, became a servant, and he humbled himself according to verse 8. He became obedient. That means rather than the one giving the orders, he was the one now who took the orders. Now he was absolute God. He never laid aside his deity, but he laid aside the prerogatives of that deity and became obedient. His absolute power as God was laid aside. And you know what Jesus did when he did his miracles? He did not do his miracles through the inherent power that was his as God, but through power that was given to him from his Father. And he said in John chapter 5, verse 19, the Son can do nothing of himself. Now, when he said nothing, that's big. He didn't say, now I can do part of it, and the rest of it I'll have to depend upon the Father. Jesus became so poor. He became poor in his person. He became a man. He became poor in his position. He became a servant. He became poor in his power. He absolutely was totally limited to what God the Father could and would do through him. And he became poor in his possessions because the Bible says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ was crucified. He died on a cross having absolutely nothing. You see, he was born in a stable. He preached from a borrowed boat. He had to pay his taxes from a coin that came from a fish's mouth. He said, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't know have any place to lay his head. Jesus Christ, when he wanted to come into Jerusalem for his triumphal entry, had to ride in on a borrowed donkey. Even when Jesus Christ was buried, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. I am saying that Jesus Christ knew absolute poverty. Psalm 40, verse 17, which is a prophetic psalm, speaks of the Lord, and it says, I am poor and needy. Now, Jesus took our sins. Sin always makes a person poor. Since Jesus took our sins, Jesus took our poverty. You see, the Bible says that Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so Satan is a thief. He is a robber. And hell is an eternal poorhouse. What Jesus did when Jesus died on the cross, he took our poverty and he became poor. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see in this verse. First of all, we talked about his glorious possessions. He was rich. And then we talked about his poverty. We talked about his great poverty. He became poor. Now, here's the third thing, and here's what really ought to bless you, his gracious provision. He became poor that we through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Why Christmas? Why did Jesus leave heaven? He wanted to make you rich. Now, you see, without Christ, you're poor. I don't care how much you have in the bank. I don't care how much fur and finery and gold and silver you have, you're poor. Now, you may think you have a lot. Jesus said to that church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. Oh, they were all decked out, but they were poverty stricken. They're like the man who loved his Cadillac so much he had it gold plated and wanted to be buried in it. They dug a great hole and the crane lowered him down in the hole. That cadaver sitting behind the wheel of this beautiful Cadillac. Two little boys standing there. One looked at the other and said, man, that's living. No, it's not. He's dead. And the Bible says she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Now, the Bible is not against you having things. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Jesus came that you might be rich. If you don't know Jesus, you are a pauper. You see, if you want to know how much you have, you add up everything you have that money cannot buy and death cannot take away. Money, for example, cannot buy peace of heart. Money cannot buy the forgiveness of sins. Money cannot buy a home in heaven. Money cannot quiet the cries of a guilty conscience or heal the bloody wounds of a wasted life. Jesus became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. And I'll tell you something else. You will never enjoy the things that money can buy if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. These things will never give you satisfaction. And you will never have Jesus' riches until you're willing to admit your poverty. That's the reason Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to go into heaven. Because he will not admit his poverty. You see, God makes something out of nothing until you admit you're nothing. He can't make anything out of you. Matthew 5, verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you see yourself as spiritually bankrupt, then you're ready for the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me talk to you about the riches that come to us through Christmas. First of all, we share with the Lord Jesus the riches of his person. You see, we are brothers to the Lord Jesus Christ, and even more than that, we are members of his body. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and through the Holy Spirit, we have union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says God has done this to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? Jesus. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Where am I? I am in Christ. If I am in Christ, I am rich in my person. When God looks at Jesus, he sees me. When God looks at me, he sees Jesus. Now, you may not believe that, but friend, it is true. God loves you as much as he loves the Lord Jesus. John chapter 17, he prayed, Father, help them to know that thou hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. So you're rich, you're accepted in the beloved. You're not accepted in yourself, but when you're in Jesus, you are accepted before the throne. You're rich in your person. You're also rich in your position. Do you know where you are right now? Well, you're in Jesus. And where is Jesus? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 with me for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. There's the grace of Christmas. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Adrian, where are you tonight? I'm in heaven. What are you doing there? I'm sitting there. Who are you sitting there with? Well, I'm sitting there with Jesus because I'm in him and he's in me. You say, no, you're not. You're down here. Well, friend, I'm also up there. I am seated with him. That is my position. Now, if I were to put you in a barrel and put that barrel in the middle of the Mississippi River, where would you be? You'd be in the middle of the Mississippi River. If you're in Christ and Christ is in the heavenlies, where are you? You're in the heavenlies also. He hath raised us up together with him, and we're seated with him. I got a letter from a friend a while back, and he didn't say at the end of the letter, keep looking up. He said, keep looking down. That was good. Because he said, Adrian, that's what he said. I knew what he meant. He said, Adrian, you're seated with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. You know, Paul wrote this book of Ephesians. You know where he was when he wrote the book of Ephesians? He was in prison. But when you open the book of Ephesians, you don't smell any prison air. You smell the breezes of heaven. Paul in prison said, hey, I'm up in the glory. I am rich in my person. I am accepted in the beloved. I am rich in my position. I'm seated with Christ. I am rich in power. What did the Apostle Paul say when he wrote another prison epistle? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He says in this book of Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 16 that we're strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What riches we have, what power we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us, even the youths shall utterly faint, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we're rich in our possessions, not only in our person, in our position, in our power, but rich in our possessions. Jesus became poor that I might become rich. Let me give you one of the great, great verses in the Bible. You know, one of these days, we're going to read this book and believe it, and the rest of us are going to be ashamed of ourselves. I mean, somebody's going to read it and believe it, and the rest of us will be ashamed of ourselves. Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. A man was sitting on the street corner crying, and somebody said, why are you crying? He said, didn't you read the newspaper? Rockefeller has died. He said, well, you're no relative of his. He said, that's why I'm crying. Friend, listen, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. Now, the Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs. You know what? Our lawyers here will tell you what a joint heir is. That means share and share alike. Can you think of everything that belongs to Jesus? It belongs to you. You are an heir of God. You are rich. I was with a preacher one time in Florida, and I was going to preach a revival for him, and he took me out to show me some homes in the community. And we were just driving along around, and he said, you see that? And he showed me a beautiful house over there. I said, well, that's nice, but you ought to see my brother's place. And so he showed me another place, and I said, well, that's nice, but you ought to see my brother's place. Every place he showed me, no matter how big the mansion was, I said, yeah, well, that's nice, but you ought to see my brother's place. After a while, I said, who is your brother? I said, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, you ought to see my brother's place. Listen, friend, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Christmas is all about. You see, the grace of our Lord Jesus, though He were rich, yet He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. That's what it is all about. Now, this Christmas, I want you just to revel in the grace of God. When you see that baby depicted in a manger, you think of these words, grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That is, through His poverty, ye might be rich. Now, listen to this. Grace cost you nothing. Grace cost Jesus everything. However, if you miss God's grace, you will lose everything. That's the bottom line.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like additional copies or information about other resources, write to us at Love Worth Finding, P.O. Box 38300, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You can also visit our online bookstore at lwf.org. In the U.S., you can place Visa or MasterCard orders by calling 1-800-274-5683, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.